It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Hey, welcome to Money for Lunch. You know, this summer has just blown by. I can't believe how fast it's blown by. I just sending an email to my daughter regarding her next semester of school, which doesn't seem that, you know, which is not that far away. It's just sometime in August. Here we are at the end of June. And, you know, time flies when you're having fun. Sometimes time flies and you're not having that much fun. It just flies. Anyway, enough of that. Just excited to have you here. You know, and I say this and I mean this with all sincerity. I really, truly appreciate you guys. I appreciate the fact that you guys promote our show. You send in some show suggestions. And I appreciate that so very much. We could not be as successful as we are without your support, your help, you guys interacting with us on Facebook and Twitter and now Instagram. So thank you so much for that. All right, let's get started here. My first guest, Marilyn Porter. Marilyn Porter is, in fact, in 2013, as Marilyn was moving towards retirement, she knew she needed to find something that would help her find out what was her life's purpose. A lot of us deal with that, right? She went to many seminars and learned a lot, and towards the end of the year, she found Fast EFT. She finally discovered something that helped her, and through that, she bought the home study kit and set about becoming a practitioner. Today, she's a level 4 advanced practitioner, a certified hypnotherapist. She worked with people all over the world, changing one life at a time. She also sold seminars locally. She is now retired and worked from home with her business. Marilyn Porter, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thank you.
All right, so why don't you tell us, what is EFT? What is this fast EFT or this faster EFT? Excuse me.
Faster EFT. It's faster EFT. And it's a modality that helps people change the memories from the past. For example, if you have things coming up in your life, an example probably is my own stuff, is where I believed that I was stupid, not good enough, could never make anything do for me, so that by changing, going back to when you first originally have this memory, you change it, you change the emotions, you change the pictures, the feelings, and then through a form of tapping, a lot of people would have heard of EFT, so through the form of tapping, this has helped move the memory, change it, and then just leave it behind you. It's in the past. It doesn't exist anymore.
I love it. I love it. All right. So explain how that works. So if I have this memory, let's say I'm afraid of snakes. So I'm afraid of snakes. And how does EFT help me with this memory, call it distortion or change or whatever?
Well, what we do is go back to when you first originally remember being afraid of snakes. I have a good example of that is my sister walking through the woods and coming across this snake sitting up on a rock, hissing at her, and ran for her life, which, you know, is a natural thing.
Sure.
So we go back to that memory, and then we get you to relive that memory. So what were the feelings coming up at the time, you know, and then we tap out those feelings, and then we turn that around. So instead of the snake sitting up on the rock hissing, using your own mind, you change that picture. Change it to something that, you know, maybe it is laughing at you or you're laughing at it. It's something that's silly, something that your mind comes up with, and you change that around. Next time you see a snake, you may not even be frightened of it. You may just stand there and look at it. It changes it completely.
Yes, yes. And it's amazing. Two things are amazing about this. First of all, how a memory can affect our lives, right, forever. And then second of all, how quickly a memory can be altered, changed, erased, or transformed so it no longer affects you.
Well, this is right, but well, when you think of it, you know, it only takes a fraction of a second for you to create the memory in the first place. A car accident is a very good example. You know, people can suffer from that car accident for years and years and years to come. And I dealt with a lady on that who, for 5 years, she couldn't even drive past the place where she had this head-on collision. And after a two-hour session, not only did we knock out the pain that she'd suffered from that time, but we also knocked out the fear of going past there. So instead of driving 5 kilometres, which I think is about 3 miles in your language, for 5 years, she was able to drive past it without the fear, without the worry of going past that spot.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. All right, so let's talk a little bit about your journey. Here you are, you're retiring, and kind of walk us through, you're wrapping up one career and you're looking for your next step. How were you led to this EFT work?
Well, I had something happen to me in 2012, which really, I'd been working on myself for most of my life, off and on, because I tried to commit suicide at about 16, 17. And from going to a psychologist or a psychiatrist or whoever it was, too long ago, I can't remember. But after going there, he told me that the only person that could help me was myself. So from there on, I've had ups and downs, of course, through life. But I've always gone to a counsellor, seeked help. I would never take pills, don't believe in that. So I would be doing this, a lot of mind work, you might say. And in 2012, something happened that really made me angry with myself. I was thinking, I've got to get over this. I've got to do something about my life. And because I'm not one to sit around and do nothing, I'd only worked for 12 years in my life. I brought up my 4 children without working. So I went to a few seminars, and I was mainly looking in the health industry. And through a friend of mine, I found out about EFT, which a lot of Americans know about, Nick Altner, Margaret Lynch, these people who have brought the EFT world really about. And just mucking around on Google, I came across Faster EFT, which was created by Robert G. Smith, who lives in Oklahoma. And I just loved his modality. He uses a combination of hypnotherapy, which I had already done, NLP, which I had dabbled in, acupuncture, which I had also done, and a few other things. And he'd brought it all together. And now it was just a modality that has a fantastic impact. And while working on myself through his videos, you go onto YouTube with his videos and you can work on yourself through them, I started to make the changes within myself. And that's where I came about and thought, wow, this is powerful, this is good. So then I took it on, and now I'm working it as a business, and I'm looking, I'm actually going into the business world as an entrepreneurial coach. And that's a big move for me too, because I've never dealt within the business world. And now to step out of my comfort zone, which is one thing I would never, ever have done years and years and years ago, but now I can do that with confidence and my own inner power, in which I can step out and help other people overcome their stress and their anxiety and everything with this wonderful modality that just shifts and moves people. In 10 minutes you can move a memory. In 10 minutes you can change your whole attitude towards things, and it's amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing. And people don't understand that, you know, there is, what do you call it, so many people believe that they have to spend years working, quote, on themselves and trying to get over something. And then with the right, I think the right method, you can change something literally overnight. And we see people doing it all the time. We hear about somebody who's been addicted to drugs or cigarettes or whatever, and they finally hit that rock bottom and they change that, you know, in a split second, and they never drink again, or they never smoke again, or they decide to get in shape. And so, you know, they do that, and they go from being fit, from being fat to fit, and they stay there. And when you're in the right frame of mind, you can make that shift and keep it very quickly.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that point up too, because last year, Robert Smith, the creator of Fast EFT, he goes over to Habilitat, which is a drug and alcohol rehabilitation center in Hawaii. And mm-hmm. twice a year he goes in and he invites 10 of his top practitioners to go with him, and they do a 10-day marathon. And I had the honor of being invited last July. And we go in and we help remove the triggers and also the emotions around their substance of choice. And it's amazing, because until they remove these from the person, and you know what really surprised me was a lot of them started as young as 9, 10, 11, and they stay at that age emotionally, because they haven't had a chance to grow up because of the drugs, the alcohol, whatever they're on. And we go in and once you knock out the triggers and the emotions behind what started them, they have a really good chance of healing and moving forward. And I don't look at that as a disease. There is no broken people. Everybody can be helped. And these people, they have over a 65% success rate, which is amazing for the rehabilitation of the drug and alcohol. So this is the marvelous modality. And there is a lot out there too. There's quantum physics, which I'm absolutely crazy about now. I'm following Joe Dispenza and I'm doing a course with him in September. And it is just so many good things out there that can help people remove their whatever's keeping them stuck in life. And you can get out and enjoy life now. You can get out and have a good time. You don't have to be in yourself with weight loss. This is an amazing thing to remove that. You can tap out the addiction to food, different foods. When you become addicted to, say, Coke, or you become addicted to sweet stuff, you can knock out that. Or tap it out, I should say. I shouldn't say knock it out, because that's anyway.
There you go. We'll call it. You started a new therapy called knock it out. No, I'm just kidding.
Absolutely. Why not?
Why not?
But it is an amazing thing that you can do with it. You know, there's many things out there. I'm not just saying what I've got is the end of all, but there is just so many things out there that people can tap into and use and recover without the need of drugs and talking about things. You know, we find that a lot of people in therapy, you talk about it, but it's not doing anything. It's just keeping it in the mind and keeping it running around. You need to release it, and that's what we're doing with the tapping, is you release it and let it go. You don't need it anymore.
Yes, and you know, something that you said at the very beginning of the segment is that you've always been working on yourself, and I think that is something that a lot of people fail to do. Look, for better or worse, some of us call it progress or call it heal or call it change or call it whatever you want at different levels. So what may take you a year might take me 5 or whatever. And so, but we constantly have to be working on ourselves. We constantly have to be getting better. And you do that through seminars, books, videos, audios, you know, and all of this stuff helps us compress time. You know, some of our parents, or I would say most of our parents, just did the best they could and they messed us up. But we have to move beyond that, right? And then we have some parents out there that are jerks. I mean, they're abusive. They were may be physically abusive or verbally abusive, or they abused our self-esteem. They weren't encouraging. And you know, bottom line is most parents are doing the best they can with the tools that they have. Now, putting aside the parents that are just jerks and abusive, physically abusive and stuff like that, most parents are doing, again, doing the best they can. And maybe some of these abusive people are doing the best that they can. But bottom line is, no matter what life has dealt you, no matter where you are in life, it's our responsibility to fix ourselves. There isn't anything else out there. It is all within us. And if we're not working on ourselves, then we're not getting better, period.
You're absolutely right there, because we talk about the two models of the world. And you have the lower model, which is you were born an infinite spark. You came in here, you had no knowledge, no nothing. And when you're born, you're like a little sponge for about the first 7 years of your life. You're taking in all
right.
of this information, and you're taking it in from your parents, your grandparents, your teachers, you know, the religious sect, every part. You are this sponge taking in all this information. And you don't know the difference between reality and non-reality. You know, you're just learning. That's all you're doing. And you have no control over what's coming in. So if you have been a fortunate one and has got wonderful parents who are teaching you in a wonderful way, you're going to grow up with a good sense of how to deal with yourself and work with yourself. But as you were saying, the majority of us have the parents or the caregivers that, and you go to school, you learn very well the different personalities and everything, and then you take on all of their stuff. And they've brought it in from how they grew up. But once you get into the second model of the world or the upper model of the world, then you have all the control to change. And this is where a lot of people, they'd rather bury their head in the sand and pretend that things aren't happening, or getting so involved with what's going on outside of themselves that they're not doing the change. They're not making that change. They're frightened to, and that's probably the biggest thing, is that too many people have this fear factor inside of themselves that they're not game to step out of their comfort zone. And that's where I was 3 years ago. I had done many things and I had worked on myself off and on over the years, and there was many times when I probably put my head in the sand and buried it and didn't want to know. But once I learnt this modality, once I got into my mind and started changing those memories with the help of other practitioners, then I was able to then make the choice. And this is where people need to get to, is to make the choice for themselves, to say to themselves, well, I can have a better life, I can do something with myself, I can move forward, and then find what suits them best. And they can reach out and they can then work for themselves, but you've got to first of all look inside of yourself. And I do some seminars on looking in the mirror, and I like to work with women where we get them to look in the mirror and love themselves stark naked, you know, all the little bubbly bits and the bumpy bits, and at my age you've got the wrinkles and you've got the flab and you've got all that. So you need to stand in front of the mirror and love every little part of yourself, so that you can then turn around, and while you love yourself and you have that inside, you respect yourself, you love yourself, then you can project it out to other people.
Yes.
And people see that. That's what's within you. They see that genuineness rather than the forcedness, you know, and saying, oh, yes, I love myself as long as my hair's done beautifully and my makeup's put on nicely and I've got this beautiful outfit fit on. That's not loving yourself. And we also talk about you can only love someone to the same manner as you love yourself. So in the Bible, it states, love thy neighbor as thyself. So if you don't love yourself that much, you can't love your neighbor. You'll only love them to that extent that you love yourself. So, you know, I work on the image on the inside, and that's where you need to start the change. That's where you need to start becoming who you truly have meant to be. That unique spark that you came into the world as.
Yes, I think you hit the nail right on the head. I think that most of what causes us to suffer, if you will, is this self-loathing that we have. And some people have it very, very bad, and some people have it very, very minor. But, you know, the bottom line is how we see ourselves, how we love ourselves, if you will, makes a huge, huge, huge difference in our lives, right? I mean, bottom line is, what do you call it? That to me is the real trick. That to me is the real process that we're all trying to figure out, is to get to the point that we're comfortable within our own skin and that we're comfortable being ourselves, just like we were when we were 5 or 6 or 7, before all the different schools and all the different opinions started to affect our brain.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I've been married twice, and I know from my own programming is that I was looking out there looking for the love. I was out there looking for someone who could fix me or could help me or could look after me. And that's really not the place to start. That's not the place to look. And I like the way you mentioned the children too, is because isn't it wonderful to go on to YouTube or to see these programs where these little kids, they're uninhibited. They're just doing what comes naturally to kids. They're gorgeous. They're laughing. And that's, I think, what the adults lose as they're growing, as they're developing and trying to deal with the modern life, especially the modern life of today in the fast-tracked world that we're going on, is they're not taking that time out for themselves. They're not becoming that inner child. They're not feeling the joy of life and living to the best of their ability. They're just, working. You get up in the morning, you go to work, you work all day, you come home buggered and you go to bed at night. So it seems to be a perpetual movement on trying to make that big buck, trying to make all that money, instead of stepping back and being, just being, go to the park, walk with your bare feet through the grass, skip, jump, do something, that's more uninhibiting, and find that joy again that those little kids have.
Yes, I love it. I love it. Marilyn, we're out of time. Would love to bring you back and talk more about not only EFT, but also some of the other items that you're working in. I was going to, originally we brought you onto the show to talk about the Midas Touch, which we didn't get to, but that's all right. We'll bring you back. We'll talk more about the Midas Touch and some of these other, fascinating subjects, the Law of Attraction. And Marilyn Porter, it's been totally fun having you on the show today.
Thank you very much. It's been my pleasure. Look forward to the next one.
You bet. Good stuff there from Marilyn Porter. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back right after this.
Did you bring the camera phone?
I did.
Do you want to go first?
I've been waiting for this all day.
Okay, this is Bro and Stacy.
Introducing Chase Quick Deposit. Just photograph the front and back of your check using the Chase mobile app on your iPhone and hit send.
It went through?
So cool.
This is so cool. You want to try it?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, who's next?
Make a deposit from anywhere, anytime with your iPhone.
To Mr. and Mrs. Walker, why would they send my parents a check?
Chase what matters.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Cooler, Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Then let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
All right, we are back. My next guest, Binoy Tamang, is the CEO of Lehigh, Utah-based e-file cabinet. Founded in 2001, efilecabinet.com. You can find out more about him there. But e-file cabinet helps small businesses improve profitability with compliance-focused paperless document management software that captures, stores, and shares and manages data for paper-heavy businesses and departments. And again, you can find out more about them at efilecabinet.com. Benoit, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thanks, Bert. Very excited to be here. You've got a great program.
All right. Thank you so much. And I appreciate, you know, chatting with you. And let's talk about what is happening in this, in our new data age. Everything is going, or at least trying to go paperless. What are some of the benefits of going paperless? Because, you know, I'm old-fashioned. I'm 50-something plus years old. There's a certain security of having paper.
There sure is. And I'm in the same age bracket, mate. So we're in the same boat. I will tell you that the astonishing thing that's happened to accelerate this whole motion towards paperless really has accelerated with the advent of the smartphone. Because we've all seen it. We've all got now almost a pathological need to glance down at our phone or to tap or touch our pocket where the phone may be vibrating, right? And so we're now very used to this, Bert, and that's really what's happened. It's the age of convenience, of easy accessibility to data, whether you're an entrepreneur, a business owner, a department manager of a larger organization. Everyone knows that essentially paper by itself eventually becomes diminished in its value, not eradicated, not zeroed out, but it certainly becomes less important because guess what? I don't have to print anything. I don't have to carry coupons to the restaurant or to the grocery store. Everything is on my phone. Everything is available at my fingertips. And so I could talk hours about the benefits of paperless, but really it's been accelerated with the smartphone technology because it becomes now commonplace for all of the complex algorithms and technologies that may have been back in the old days IBM-ish or big iron kind of arena. Now anyone can touch it, and certainly new kids grow up on it and they expect easy access at any time to whatever information they need, whether they're using Siri or Google Now and just talking. And I noticed the other day I was walking down the neighborhood and a young 14-year-old boy wanted something. I watched him take out the smartphone from his pocket, and the first thing he said was, "Call Dad." he didn't look. He just spoke into it, Bert. He just said, "Call Dad." That's it. I mean, what kind of benefit can be better summarized than by these young kids all over the place being very, very familiar and dependent upon technology such as that? So. Anyway, I know we've got lots of topics, but I had to respond with that story.
Yes, and you know what? It's so funny you should say that because that's what I do. You know, call my wife, call my, you know, my kid, call, you know, whatever. So I think, yeah, absolutely. I think it's a great example. And you know, the other thing that's interesting about, what did you say, that paper becomes diminished? In some cases, paper absolutely becomes, worthless. And my point being is that a lot of these credit card printers, you know, they hand you a credit card receipt that is on that thermo paper. And if you don't, you know, and so what I used to do is I would take that receipt and I would put it in my envelope for that month and then give it to my accountant. Well, because it's on this thermo, this paper, this weird paper, after a few months, it disappears. The ink rubs off or whatever. And so you have to now take a picture of it. And because that piece of paper the ink dissolves.
Absolutely. And you know what? What's happening in businesses, and I know for many of our listeners here, it's all about what can we learn, what can we apply. I'll tell you right now, even though I'm lightly touching on how young people are all over the place, we still have too much paper. We still have, as of even May of this year, about $120 billion are spent in the U.S. on printed forms. It's ridiculous. the amount of dependency we have, knowing that that technology could at any time, like your ink, evaporate, burn, be covered in water because of some rain, as we've seen and have evidence of. And so paper, especially when you think about the fact that almost 70% of businesses fail if they do not have a catastrophic coverage, backup, technology, preventative sequence put in place. It is a scary thing. And there is a lot more of issues from the disaster recovery to the security and the identity theft issues that go out as everyone now starts becoming more digital, right? But even when you are using paper, you're even losing paper. And our research shows that documents are lost every 12 seconds in the U.S. because of the enormity of the paper records and files and documents. And when you compile the topics of what I call the scare side, and that is, you know, disasters can come from a fire, from people stealing things, and identity lost and interception, you still have the paper all over the place that you've spent 30-40% of your time looking for the right file, even if you've got it digitally. Imagine then asking a coworker, where did you store that again? It's X drive colon document / somewhere obscure.com, right? It's ridiculous.
Exactly.
So it just keeps compounding. And that's why here at eFile Cabinet, we've been really focused on helping our small business friends improve their profitability by giving them something very simple that is easy to manage. And in the long run, it's about take care of the business, don't worry about the paper, reduce it, move forward. Again, I got lots of stories to tell, but it is quite an issue. It is a compounding issue, even as technology grows. And just like you said, Bert, there's comfort in paper. And I always say to our sales team members, guys, remember, your biggest competition is not company X or Y. It's paper. It's the comfort. It's the I don't want to relinquish what I am very comfortable with. That's our biggest competition.
Yes, absolutely. Now, what's interesting, too, is, you know, we see this more and more. You mentioned the phones, but everything is moving to the cloud. So let's talk about this. Binoy, talk a little bit about the cost of storage using a paperless system. Talk about that.
Yes. This is really where everything's going. Now, we have many, many people in business saying, I don't want to use the cloud. And yet every day they use Google. Every day they may use Skype and or Pandora and or Spotify. Well, all of those services are on the internet. And so the more people use the cloud, the internet, I believe everyone is going to manifest themselves in a much more predictably safe and efficient manner. For example, if you use cloud storage, if you are able to store things in the cloud, then no matter where you are, you're able to access your documents from your laptop, from your iPad, from your smartphone. And right now, what we've seen is that generally, when you store paper away from filing cabinets or banker's boxes or whatever folder system you've got, in general, our clients are saving about $10,000 per year just in the physical office space real estate by itself, the physical space. We're talking about people who have got, and I can cite you, for example, Chris Beebe, a good friend of ours and a client at Raleigh General Hospital. He removed 12 5-drawer, 3 feet wide filing cabinets from his hospital HR department. I mean, it's incredible, right? And so the goal here is, for all of our listeners, it's not about clinging on to safety and comfort. It's about being prudent in planning the future profitability and the ability for you to serve your clients by making sure your documents are stored, easily retrieved, securely managed, and use the cloud. Feel comfort about it. Many of the software vendors like ourselves, we use 256-bit encryption technology that's equivalent or better than many of the banks that you and I use to do all of our transactions, from payments to transferring within our own accounts when we log into a bank online account. So it's really an area of embracing, not from running away. We even have clients who are saving up to 43% just in printer and supply paper costs because they don't have to use the fax, the printer, the scanner, and the high ink costs. It's very important. 43%, that's a lot of money when you take that over time and multiply it by the number of months. So we're talking about consistent, deliberate strategy to free up not just space, but even the tools. And I'm not even talking about the labor. And there's a lot to talk about that, but I'm going to stop a little bit, Bert, because I can talk and talk. So interject.
Well, let's talk about that.
Please.
Talk about the labor, because a lot of people don't really take that into consideration. I want you to talk about a couple of different things. So if I have paper, and I'm going to convert it over to a digital or electronic copy, whatever you want to call it, there's a cost to that as well, right? Because now I got to scan it, or do you guys have a service for that? Because you mentioned the guy who got rid of all those filing cabinets full of physical paper. There has to be a cost of transferring that to the cloud. And then, of course, there's got to be a cost in labor with maintaining physical paper as well. Talk about both those.
I love this topic. You bet. So here's a straight skinny. Number one, the majority of people now who are going to use document management either use an electronic form of transferring from existing Windows directory folder structures, right? It's in C:\temp:\Bert's favorite pictures. Or they're going to use paper that's existing in the banker's boxes and filing cabinets. It's easy. This is what we tell everyone. Number one, go get the paper that you've got today. Don't worry about yesterday. Just go that piece of paper. I want you to touch it once. Go scan it using one of these super duper high velocity scanners that do 50, 60, 80 pages per minute. And all you do is just scan it, and it'll electronically deposit the file right into your e-file cabinet document management software. Inside there, it looks like any Windows-like, Microsoft-familiar-like interface, so that people aren't learning anything. Oh, look, it deposited right there. Then take your mouse and drag and drop and put it into the right folder or cabinet, because it's almost like mimicking a virtual – it's a virtual version of a cabinet. You can have cabinets, you can have drawers, you can have folders, and then you can have files. Upteenth number, no limit. So what you're really doing is saying, okay, whether you scan it or drag and drop it, put it in the right area that you want. Put it in the right year if you're an accountant. Put it in the right type of form if you're an HR employee or employer. So what we've got is made it very easy for people to use. If you're comfortable with Microsoft products, then you know the file, the edit, and all of that. Same menu structure, same thing, laid out in little boxes so you can see that it looks like a cabinet, a drawer, a folder, and a file. Now, with that said, when it comes to human costs, that's the number one reason why people go paperless. They're sick and tired of having high-paid employees going back and forth, trying to retrieve not just a document, but essentially trying to look competent. Think about it. Think about it.
Yeah.
You look bad when somebody asks you, hey, Bert, would you give me last year's form on this and this? And you go, all right, yeah, let me do that. Hold on a minute, or I'll call you back, which is even worse. And so by having the capability to search, now that you've stored it, having it search whether it was a PDF or a physical Word document or Excel or PowerPoint or whatever it is, nowadays our solutions, our document management technology, you can do a Google-like search within eFile cabinet. So you can type in BERT 1999 tax return, and boom, it shows it up right there and then. You're then able not only to save costs in labor and retrieval, but you actually look competent, that you have an air of trust and capability. And that's one thing that isn't numerically communicated, but it's huge. When it comes to saving, I'll tell you right now, just our there's a company called UST Manufacturing, and Jonathan there, he's saving in his department 80 hours of paid labor per week. And let's assume that he's got maybe just $40 per hour for his senior people that work there. $40 times 80 hours per week, that's a lot of savings just in labor, never mind the aspect of fast response, quality service, and having that kind of trusted, competent air about you because you're using technology appropriately. Make sense, Bert?
Yes. No, I love it. I love it. And you know what? And here's the reality, though. Whether you start doing this today or you start doing it a year from today, really, this is going to be standard, isn't it? I mean, I don't see any other way around it.
Oh, there is a wonderful quote that I'm going to try and read to you. So, you know, there are these think tanks and Gartner groups and Forrester and all of these analysts. I'm going to read out to you right now. What you just said is perfectly correct. They said in September 2014, quote, "What we expect to see is document management will be just like email, where it's going to be an essential capability that your knowledge workers are going to require." Close quote, Gartner Group. Absolutely. The world that we're going in is going to be such that fast, secure, accurate, capable management of your documents, whether it be a WAV sound file, a picture, a scanned photo from your cell phone, all of that, it has to be managed in such a way that it's digitally retrieved, stored, shared in nanoseconds, not in minutes, and certainly not in hours. That's the direction we're going. We have to go there. And no matter how fast or slow, it is going to happen. We are going there, and probably our children and our grandchildren will be the ones quizzically wondering, why are you still doing that, Bert? Right? That's where the rubber hits the road. So,
yeah, I love that.
Anyway, yes.
Well, you know what, and to illustrate a point, I want to illustrate a couple of points here, because, you know, there's always those people who are, I guess, there's early adopters, and then there's, what's the reverse?
Laggard.
Early adopters, late adopters, right? So my son, who's 25, this happened when he was 23, maybe 22, and at this point in his life, he is a trainer for the Cheesecake Factory. So they send him around the world literally to train people on cheesecake programs and policies and stuff like that. So he's helping me at the office, and I'm having him send out these faxes for me. And he calls me and says, "Hey, Dad, the fax machine's not working. None of these faxes are going through." And I quickly knew what it was because of the way things have changed. I said, did you dial 1 plus the number? And he says, "No, why would I ever do that?" I said, "Well, it's old school. You're looking at a fax machine, which is also old school. And back in the day, you have to dial 1 plus the number." And so here's a guy who was 22 or 23 years old, he's not unfamiliar with the way of the world. Like I said, he travels. He's working for a large company. He's moved up in that company. He had never had to dial 1 plus the number. So I explained to him how it works. Boom, the fax machine got, the faxes got cranked out. So I mean to say is that there is going to be a generation of people who probably – will not understand a physical paper the way you and I understand a physical paper. Having, you know, there's going to be a generation of people that will only understand retrieving things from an e-file cabinet type environment.
That, in fact, it's already happening, right? The fact that, and you've seen this on video, you've seen those little toddlers who can hardly read or write, and there's this fabulous video of a little toddler in diapers who's looking down at a magazine, okay? And she is captured by a parent. And you know what she's doing to the front cover of the magazine? She's swiping to the right and to the left and wondering, why isn't it changing? Why isn't it changing? Because she's used to an iPad. She looks down and she's swiping to the right, to the left, and nothing's happening to the front cover of the magazine. So it's already accelerated to the point that we have to re-educate some of our newer generations about, hey, this is how the old days were, and this is how you have to interact if you're using the old technology. Right now, I can tell you that the acceleration in business, especially small businesses, is such that I can see, say, from our we have about just north of 160,000 users using e-file cabinet software. And having studied their patterns and such, you've got that normal bell-shaped curve. You've got those who are clearly always using all of the features in the front. They're uploading, downloading, sharing not just a few documents a day. We're talking about 10, 15,000 documents a day. That's huge. And yeah. On the other extreme, you've got people who say, you know what? I like this idea. May I buy your software package and not use it in the cloud, but I'd like to have one where I can put it on my server because I feel more safe. I feel more safe that the data is within my boundaries, within my building. Can I just have a server-based on-premise solution? Sure, you can do that. Remember to back it up. Remember to take care of all of the redundancies and power failure, right? You have to tell them that.
You do.
You have to do that.
This is what kind of my point. Look, everything is going to the cloud. So yes, you can have it on your server, and then eventually you could have it on your server. So you can have a server, and then you have a backup of that server. But sooner or later, it only makes sense to have a copy of that server somewhere in the cloud. And the reason why, and if you if you haven't lived through this, you eventually will. But let me tell you from experience, I grew up in Houston, Texas. Houston gets flooded. And in fact, the last 12 months, they've been flooded they've had more flooding than ever before. But I remember one day walking into my office in my server room, the ceiling above our server room, which had multiple servers, got completely trashed. I mean, the roof had caved in, it flooded. Everything was soaking wet. And so you quickly learn that even though we had a server and then a backup of that server, we weren't protected as much as we thought. So now what we did is we got a server, a backup of that server. Then we moved something to a cloud-based system. And then we put an additional roof in our server room. So in case the ceiling was to fall in again, our electronics wouldn't be completely ruined the way they were from this last lesson. So sooner or later, Benoit, everything, as much as you're going to try to resist it, sooner or later you're going to have some kind of cloud-based redundancy, period.
Yeah. Yeah. And for whatever reason, the business owners – have an aversion to using the cloud when in their personal life and in the personal conduct of even their finances, they do that anyway. Whether they are using the credit card to sign up for another Amazon Prime purchase, right, or whether they're conducting their transactions on the smartphone while at the airport to make sure that the bank accounts and transfers within checking and savings are correct, they'll do that, but when it comes to business, all of a sudden, maybe I should consider it. Now, it's changing, and that wall is slowly coming down, but it still happens. Now, going back to that story of yours, I have to tell you this story. Back on Saturday, May 5th, 2007, Saturday, May 5th, 2007. This is important because it was a client of ours. In Greensburg, Kansas, there was an epic tornado that completely leveled the town. I'm actually still looking at the photos from there. It was so so large in size that no home was spared in the swath that it cut through. Randy Kelly was a CPA, still a CPA, and there I have a photo. In the photo, amongst all the turmoil, he's got a wooden slab of a desk on top of bricks. He somehow got a chair from a kitchen somewhere, and then on a piece, and he's got a computer up. And on the computer, in front of the computer, there's a large stone that he's put in which he trapped a piece of paper draped over the side, and on the piece of paper it says open, like in open for business, right? And this is his quote. This is his quote. I got to read it to you. I had my data backed up at a bank. After the tornado, not only was my office completely destroyed, so was the bank. Online backup is a must for anyone needing to store the valuable data safely and securely. I wish I'd done it sooner. He did, and he was able to put up his sign, open for business. You never know. You never know. You must have multiple sources to make sure your data, your client files, all of the information is stored. And please, everyone listening to this, the internet is here. Yes, we all hear of such and such being hacked and this and that. Yeah, well, guess what? Our own computers. Last night, we had a power out at home at 3 a.m. Didn't know it because the alarm clock wasn't working. But now one of my Google Drive / whatever isn't working. It must have got fried. How do we not know ourselves what's going to go wrong in our own premises? So going forward, we must take care. We must, as prudent businessmen, make sure that we have multiple sources of taking care of our business, our intellectual property, and must not be afraid of the cloud. And document management, from our perspective, is not just cloud storage. Document management means that you have the capability to have retention, how long you want to keep those files. You have the ability in a work environment to even have workflow so that if an invoice or a certain decision needs to be made and it's a certain dollar amount or from a certain client, it gets routed to the right person in an order that they can take care of that. To digital signatures, who needs to write? Because if you have to write something, then you're going to have to scan it. Why do all of this, right? So document management makes it so that you can operate your business efficiently with security for data at transit or at rest. And you've taken out mostly the labor-heavy environment and the costs associated with paper. That's what all kind of
makes it. I love it. Binoy Tamang, CEO of eFileCabinet.com, eFileCabinet.com. I want to say thank you so much for stopping by and sharing. You know, guys, bottom line is the deal is this, kind of what you were saying there, Binoy, is that sooner or later, it's not if your system is going to break down or possibly get hacked or get destroyed, it's when your system is going to get shut down or destroyed or get hacked. It's going to happen to all of us. It's just the world that we live in. Something's going to happen. And if you haven't backed up your stuff, you're screwed. You're going to be closed for business versus open for business. And anyway, Benoit, thank you so much for stopping by and helping us out today. Looking forward to have you back again.
Thanks, Bert. You have a great program. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You bet. All righty. Good stuff there from CEO Binoy Tamang, CEO of eFileCabinet.com. Just imperative for all of us to back up our crap. That's just all there is to it. And I love going paperless. If anybody who's gone from paper to paperless, you know the freedom, the what do you call it? I don't know. You get to have stuff at your fingertips, and you're uncluttering your life and your desk and your office. Either way, check them out, eFileCabinet.com. Remember, you were created.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch.
and check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.